And now we turn to the Kentucky governor's race. Democrat Andy Beshear declared victory after the results last night showed him more than 5,000 votes ahead over Republican incumbent Matt Bevin, with all the precincts reporting. But Bevin refuses to concede.
We're confident in the outcome of the election, but today is about moving forward. You know, the election is over. No one else is going to cast a vote. It ended last night, and we're going to make sure that we make this transition as smooth as we can, because you know, the people of this Commonwealth have needs, and they need their next governor to be ready and to be addressing those needs immediately.
That was Attorney General and apparent governor-elect Andy Beshear speaking this morning in Louisville at a press conference announcing his transition plans. He was basically saying that the governor will be sworn in on December 10th if things go according to plan, and that he needs to get to work because by the end of January, the governor needs to present his two-year budget for consideration at the General Assembly. Let's talk about what's next if a legal battle looms over this. Joining us on the phone now from Lexington is University of Kentucky Professor of Law Joshua Douglas. Professor, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
We hope that you can help us understand what might happen if these alleged discrepancies and irregularities in voting on Tuesday night in Kentucky, as alleged by Governor Matt Bevin, who appears to be the loser in Tuesday's Kentucky gubernatorial election, move into some type of legal system, what could happen next?
Yeah, well, Michael, first I'd want to just point out that I have no clue what he's talking about with respect to irregularities. And so, there's nothing I've heard that has suggested that there's anything problematic with the vote count. And, you know, he's down by just under 5,000 votes, and that's a lot to make up. But if there is some sort of request for a challenge or desire to move forward, the first step is what's known as a re-canvass. And under a re-canvass, essentially all of the counties just recheck their counts. So they check the machine counts as compared to the number of paper ballots they had and make sure that the numbers match up. And the request would have to be made by next Tuesday, the 12th, and the re-canvass itself would happen on Thursday, November 14th.
And I understand that a re-canvass would not necessarily cost a candidate anything, but if it moves beyond that and heads towards a full recount, somebody else has to pay for that other than the government, right?
Well, yes. So the recanvass does not cost the candidate anything. Also, recanvasses very rarely change vote totals beyond a couple here and there. So it would be very surprising to me if the recanvass changed vote totals by, 5,000 votes. That would be really unprecedented. But the next step would be actually not a recount. And this is, there's a little bit kind of a confusion in Kentucky law here. But a closer reading of the law persuades me that the recount provision does not actually apply to gubernatorial elections, that a gubernatorial candidate cannot actually request a recount under the statute, but instead the only other recourse is to move forward with an election contest in the legislature itself.
Oh, so there is no statute that establishes an opportunity for a recount. This goes right to the legislative body?
That's right. There is a statute that talks about recounts and the procedure, and this would happen before a judge in the Franklin Circuit Court. But the beginning of that statute references another statute, and that other statute excludes gubernatorial elections from the recount process. And so there's been a little bit of confusion, including on my end, about what this means because it's kind of intricate and complex. But my reading of the statute now is that the recount provision does not apply to this particular election. And what does apply is the election contest procedures in the legislature.
Is there any idea or examples or framework that we can understand that could establish any type of protocol for an election contest?
Well, the statutes do provide some guidelines. So first, there would be a committee of 11 members of the legislature, 8 from the House and 3 from the Senate, that would convene as the body to hear the election contest. Those members are selected randomly. The statute actually has details about putting each member's name on an identical piece of paper so that there can be a random selection of the 8 from the House and the 3 from the Senate. Those members, as I said, hear the testimony, consider consider the allegations, et cetera, and then essentially write a report to the full legislature sitting in a joint session, so the House and the Senate sitting together, to ultimately decide the contest.
Is there any ruling on the partisan makeup of these randomly selected legislators?
No, I mean, it is random. So, of course, the legislature is very heavily Republican, and so one would predict that the random selection would yield more Republicans as part of this body to hear the contest. But there's no rules or requirements about the partisan makeup of it.
This option is something that has been publicly explored by Republican Senate President Robert Stivers. He told reporters that a joint session of the Kentucky General Assembly could decide the winner. That's according to reporting by Joe Sonka out of the Louisville Courier-Journal. But this is a provision in our state constitution that hasn't been used in 120 years. It takes us back to 1899 in a hotly contested race in which Covington Democrat William Goebel was ultimately declared the winner, but was shot and killed and sworn in on his deathbed. That's how complicated things were back then. We don't see it getting that serious, do we, Professor?
I sure hope not. I mean, you know, that instance, he was shot down by essentially a sniper, and yeah, as you noted, was sworn in. You know, here again, we have a vote differential of, I think it's just under 5,000 or so. Although that sounds small in an election cast with 1.4 some odd million votes, that's actually a pretty wide margin to make up. You never see recounts, if you had a recount procedure, change vote totals by that number. So I think it's unlikely to make, in terms of any processes that would demonstrate higher vote totals for Governor Bevin, that could change the result. Of course, the statutes, the state constitution and the statutes do provide for losing candidate to challenge an election in the legislature, and so then it becomes even more kind of a political question as opposed to a legal one.
Well, it was a crazy night in Kentucky, but hey, at least the Wildcats beat Michigan State last night, so we can all pretty much agree that that's good news, right?
That's right.
Our thanks to Professor Joshua Douglas from the University of Kentucky College of Law for chatting with us. We appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much.
Thanks again.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Marks.